This look at adolescent health and depression is supported by funding from Child and Family Health Services and the Cuyahoga County Board of Health, Drug-Free Community Support Grant, and the Department of Health in the City of Shaker Heights. Particularly research partners, Prevention Research Center for Healthy Neighborhoods has been very important in gathering and managing the data. No disclosures. These are the learning objectives. And I'll let you look at those later. Perceived stress has been described as a cognitive imbalance between the demands placed on an individual and the individual's capability to respond at a reasonable cost. Demands are defined as a request or requirement for emotional, mental, or physical action over time that cannot be avoided without cost, expectations, and internalized anticipation of the same sorts of activities over time that can't be avoided without diminishment of self-esteem. Capability represents the contextual, interpersonal, and individual resources which allow or determine individual response to demands. This is best illustrated through this particular balance. You can see we have the sumo wrestlers of demand and capability on a teeter-totter of perspective. And if our demands and capability can both increase, such as when we come to give a presentation at APHA, we stay in balance and do just fine. If, however, our demands increase above our level of capability, we're likely to move out of balance. We can either regain balance by shifting our perspective and focusing more on the demands in our lives than the capability, or we can broaden our perspective and have a more stable fulcrum on which our demands and capability sit. The broader the fulcrum, the more stable the system. But as our demands, our capability diminishes, inevitably we may go out of balance without some attention to the capability side of the demand-capability balance. If they simply become too much, the teeter-totter may break and we may find ourselves in great trouble. I'll mention briefly that we can also have what's been referred to as underload, where there's a low amount of demand and high capability. I've never really known that situation, so I can only speak about it theoretically. But again, shifting perspective can help cope with that situation as well. For the physicians in the room, you may recognize this as the cardiac output curve. If we simply put demand and capability on the same curve, you can see that as demand increases, so does capability. As capability increases, so does demand. And that we find ourselves in this area of control uncertainty where the highest level of perceived stress is when we're not certain whether we're going to be able to cope with the next demand that is piled on our back or not. The Brief Encounter Perceived Stress Instrument was designed as a five-item instrument used in a primary care setting and intended to help with the efficiency of gathering information about stress in the clinical setting. The testing was done in adults, and the presentation that I'm going to share with you today looks at the instrument used in a population setting rather than a clinical setting and among adolescents. This is a study that was done in the Cleveland area, used a core of 66 youth risk behavior items with additional modules based on community stakeholder needs. One of those primary needs, in fact, was the desire to examine adolescent stress. If you ask an adolescent what their biggest health-related problem is, the answer we receive most frequently is not smoking or alcohol or marijuana or sex. But it in fact is stress. So we sought to measure stress among the adolescents in our community. We began doing that within our smaller community of Shaker Heights and then expanded it to the whole community when the instrument worked as well as it did. We are reporting on 20 high schools randomly selected in Cuyahoga County and about 4,500 students who participated in the study, and you see the response rates listed there. Student participation was voluntary and anonymous. Permission slips were mailed to the homes, and parents or guardians could exclude their child from the study. This is the instrument. It is brief. In the past month, have you felt overwhelmed by the demands placed on you in your life? Have you felt frustrated trying to live up to your own expectations and standards? Have you ever felt that your needs as a person were being left unmet, the capability side of the balance? Have you felt uncertain or apprehensive about the future? Have you felt that there were problems in your life that just could not be solved? This item was added from the adult instrument because of the lower degree of decision latitude that is experienced in the adolescent life cycle stage. And finally, have you ever felt there are so many everyday hassles and crises in life that you lost track of things that are really important to you? The sample demographics are listed here along with their relationship to stress. You can see that we had slightly more females than males and that there was a significant difference between females and males in their experience of stress. We had a multiracial population that we examined. We also looked at parental education and grade level. All of these were controlled for in the results that I will share with you. This looks at the psychometrics of the instrument, shortened as the Teen BEPSI, Brief Encounter Perceived Stress Instrument. And you can see that the highest item total correlation was actually for the needs item, followed by the demand and perspective items. You may also be able to tell that each of the items contributed to the reliability of the instrument because the alpha would lower with the removal of any of the individual items. We also did a factor analysis, and you'll note the very high factor loadings for all of the items in the same pattern that you see for the item total correlations. We also found, as we did an item analysis of the instrument, that among adolescents, three of the items related more to outcomes than the other three items. Those were the needs, control, and perspective items, which we may think of as the coping or capability side of the demand capability balance. Because these items had stronger relationships with the outcomes than the demand expectations and uncertainty items, we decided to look at it as a shortened version of the Teen BEPSI. And even with those three items excluded, we still had a very strong Cronbach's alpha of 0.82. Again, the strongest item total correlation with this newly devised three-item instrument was the control item, which looks at problems that couldn't be solved. These are odds ratios controlling for the issues that I described before. And you'll see here, I'll highlight some of the findings. Stress was highly related to feeling unsafe at school, being a victim of bullying, and many other violence-related variables, and that both of the BEPSI scoring systems had that very strong relationship. You can see the coping version of the scale had a very strong relationship with depressive sadness, but the six-item instrument worked better for predicting or relating to the incident of suicide attempt. Both were very strongly related to suicidal thought, self-harm, and eating disorders as well. The BEPSI was also strongly related to substance use, with again the three-item instrument very strongly relating to current cigarette use. Current alcohol was a little stronger for the six-item instrument, prescription drug abuse, and all of them had very strong relationships with teen stress. Just as a point of clarification, if we were to put depression on there instead of stress, the relationships are much lower, so stress is both less stigmatizing and more predictive of outcomes than looking at the more psychiatrically oriented variable of depression. You can see also that kids who were ever sexually active, currently sexually active, kids with multiple sexual partners, and kids who were gay or lesbian in their sexual orientation experienced substantially higher levels of stress as well. bisexual kids, as well as questioning kids, also experienced high levels of stress. Stress was also related to health variables, such as health quality of life, experience of having frequent absences for illness for school during the past month, not eating breakfast, getting inadequate sleep, or too much sleep were each related to stress, as was the experience of obesity and overweight. Permissive parenting, antisocial behavior, skipping school were all related to stress, and protective factors included having a trusted adult in one's life, and interestingly enough, trusted friends were not as important for protection regarding high stress states than having trusted adults. Having no emotional support was highly related to high stress. Key findings include adolescents experience stress at higher levels when involved in substance abuse, violence, or sexual activity. High adolescent stress is also associated with poorer social support, mental health, and physical health. The instrument that we've utilized shows high face validity in that it's based on a theoretical model, high internal reliability, and strong discriminant validity through its association with the variables that I've described in this presentation. The strengths of our study include that it is a large, diverse population, that we have a broad variety of control variables that we can look at in terms of demographics, and many pertinent variables for validity testing. The limitations include the fact that it was a cross-sectional study, the data was self-report, and that we lack a gold standard comparison. There is no consensus gold standard comparison for measurement of stress among either adults or adolescents. So when someone goes to the doctor, I wish this was a teen, we can say it's probably just stress, open up and say, arg. So thank you very much. I'm going to run, and I'll be back for discussion.
Thank you very much, Dr. Frank. Hopefully you'll make it to your other presentation in time. I forgot to mention, because we were trying to get him started so he could get to his other presentation, I myself have no disclosures to divulge, nor do any of the remaining panelists.